you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, May 6th. 2022. And Pastor Jason, I opened up with that verse because that was something I shared this past Tuesday during our Zoom staff meeting. Every Tuesday at 10 in the morning, we get our team together, our Springfield and Champaign and Fisher, and depending on where some of the board members are, they log in, and I've invited them the last few weeks to be a part of our weekly meetings. But I asked all the team to come up with their favorite word, current word or something. And mine was blessing. And as I prayed through and thought about it and led a short devotional on this, I just thought, this is a great couple verses in Jeremiah. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, but whose confidence is in him. And again, it's not our own confidence or our skill sets or our abilities. It's having the confidence in the Lord. That's what a great blessing is. And then the tree planted by water, I'm sure you right away thought of that passage in Psalm 1 about trees planted by the water and bearing fruit and the walk and run and, you know, anyway. So, and so everyone had different words, love or persistence or hope. Marianne's was renaissance. She says, oh, I didn't know it was supposed to be like biblically driven. And I said, well, David was referred to as like a Renaissance man because he could play the harp and yet he had the mighty men following him.
He's a gardener too.
He did all sorts of things. So that was kind of neat. Also on our Tuesday meeting, we talked about the Mark and Jason live. And so there's now a WooFoo form. Karen always loves when I say my WooFoo form. But if you go to the website, greatnewsradio.org, and to the Mark and Friends link, or on the homepage right there, you'll see a link to join in on our Wednesday gathering of Mark and Friends, where Pastor Jason and I will be here in the studio. And so that'll be taped for the Friday edition and allow you to ask questions or interact with our conversation. So we want to have an idea of who's going to show up. So you need to fill out that WooFoo form. So just go to our website and you'll see the little link about the live Mark and Friends audience. And you can be a part of that. You can come with your questions. And when you fill out the form, it just asks for a few things, like your email. And so we can contact you to say, hey, you've been approved and come join us. And it allows you to ask some questions in advance. So you might have a topic you want to talk about or have Jason address. And so we'll do our best to engage you in the conversation. And so that'll start on Wednesday, May 18th. So a week and a half or so away. And so if you'd like to be a part of upcoming Mark and Friends program that'll air on Friday, you need to register at our website, greatnewsradio.org, under the WooFoo form. So do that in the next few days so we have an idea of who may be in attendance and ask your questions in advance. And then also May 21st, our open house in Springfield at the WLUJ family of stations, 1 to 4 p.m., we'll have some food, fun, refreshments, giveaways. We hope you'll come out, whether you're a WLUJ listener or a Great News Radio listener, do a little road trip to Springfield. It's a great community. You're right there at the state capitol, and our studio is just like 5 or 6 blocks away. So you see the state capitol right from our windows, and we have lots of great parking, and we'll have food and giveaways. So that's May 21st, 1 to 4 p.m., at our studios in Springfield, 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois. It's right at a multiple intersection. It's a great location, so we invite you to come out and see our building, maybe record a radio spot, visit with the staff, and we'll have some fun together. And then also at our staff meeting on Tuesday, we covered how best to serve our listeners. So that's been a topic of conversation. How can we be more effective in scratching them where they itch, as they say, or serving them best and loving on them and encouraging them and getting the information out, whether they need the updated program guide or want to be involved in a future outing or event or gathering. And so that's always a concern for our staff, is how we can serve you better. And two shout outs quickly. Thank you, Doug Reihard. He's with Insurance Partners, Inc. He has to receive a number of copies of the Prime Lifetimes publication at his business there, at his insurance agency in Springfield. And then also Linda Blakely from the Taylorville area, she called in, and I think yesterday or today, I'm not sure, Matthew was going to drop off 40 copies of the Prime Lifetimes to the Evangelical Church there in Taylorville, or to Linda Blakely at her Blakely Heating and Cooling Company. So thank you, Linda, for calling in and requesting that. And I'm not sure if the Evangelical Free Church wanted them to hand out to their members or for their senior group or for whatever, but we're hoping to get those into Linda's hands, and she'll distribute them there in Taylorville. So that's a new location where people can maybe pick up copies, or maybe we'll find some other volunteers in and around the Taylorville area to distribute them. So that's some of the happenings here at Great News Media out of the Champaign-Urbana area. But what do you think? Any thoughts on this verse? I know I'm just springing it on you, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I guess we could just talk about that portion of Scripture in and of itself.
Yeah, well, you know, context is king. So we always have to like kind of pull back and look at what's happening around this verse so we can understand, because there is a flow that's happening here. Now, Jeremiah is a prophet who's prophesying around the time of the fall of Jerusalem. You know, Babylon is approaching. The Israelites are being judged for their sin. And that's what comes earlier here. You're in chapter 17, but earlier in chapter 16, you know, he said that he's going to send hunters and fishermen out, you know, people who are going to scour the land and who are going to, the Lord is saying this, and are going to find that things are not as they're supposed to be, that God's people don't trust and love God like they say they do. Instead, they've put their trust in lesser things, in idols. And it says this in verse 12, they are not concealed from me, for their iniquity is not hidden from my sight. I will first repay them double for their iniquity and sin, because they have polluted my land. They have filled my inheritance. My inheritance is what he has given his people. Not only is that physically the land, but that's the people themselves. They filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their abhorrent and detestable idols. This is what the Lord says. So the Lord says, I've given you this good thing that you can fill with good things. And what have you done? You filled my inheritance with the carcasses. So what are carcasses? Carcasses are dead things, things that don't give life. They bring about death. And they're abhorrent, which means that you can't even look at them. They're so bad. So he's saying something about these people. He's saying you have invested yourself in dead things, not life-giving things, but things that bring about death. And you have invested yourself in things that you shouldn't even be able to look at, but you can somehow seem to be able to look at them because you become so comfortable with your own sin. And then he says detestable idols, things that you should detest, things that you should not be like embracing, but you should instead be pushing away. You should be saying no, no, and no, but instead they are saying yes. And in verse 19, Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in a time of distress, the nations will come to you from the ends of the earth, and they will say, our fathers inherited only lies, worthless idols, and no benefit at all. Can one make gods for himself? But they are not gods. So he's saying, listen, you can't make, and this is as old can be, right? This is at the foot of the Mount Sinai as Moses goes up the mountain to spend 40 days with God. You know, the people are like, well, where's Moses at? They go to Aaron. Moses, he's been gone so long. Is he okay? Is he going to be all right? What's going on with Moses? When will he ever come back? And I think Aaron was, though the Bible doesn't specifically say what Aaron's response is, I think Aaron's like, I don't know. He didn't tell me when he was coming back. And about halfway between where the people are and Aaron are and Moses is on the mountain, Joshua is sitting there. And so what do the people say? The people are like, well, we need some kind of God to worship, because Moses, he was our intercessor for God. He was the person who stood and who reminded us of who God was. See, the people can't even understand that God is with them and for them. They need somebody else to stand as an intercessor for them. And when that person disappears, then their hope in God disappears. So they tell Aaron, we need something to worship. And Aaron says, well, give me all your jewelry. And Aaron fashions a golden calf out of that, and they worship the golden calf. And Moses comes down the mountain, and one of kind of the the most comical and heartbreaking moments in the Bible. Moses is like, Aaron, what happened? And Aaron's like, I don't know. I just threw the jewelry in the fire. Now came the golden calf.
Yeah, no, it just
and Moses is like, this stinks like rotten fish. But that's what this is like right here. You know, God is saying to the people, listen, a God that's fashioned by human hands is no God at all. If you a God of your own making is no God at all. And listen, nobody would say that they do that, but I see people do that every single day. We put our faith in lesser things. We put our faith in things that are not God, and we make them God. We worship them, you know, in how we give our time to them, how we give our attention to them, even how we give our affections to them.
And I think how we get consumed by them. We think about it. We talk about it. I mean, that's where we can really minimize our love for God, because we're so caught up talking about whether it's politics or policy or something that really, you know, what we talk about, what out of the heart, the wellspring of life. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you say you love God, but I don't hear you talking about God. I hear you talking about policy or whatever it is.
Yeah, we can turn all kinds of things into God. We can look at a God thing is any good thing that we can turn that we make God, that we give all of our time and our attention, that we give, like you said, all of our we invest ourselves into it. And so they're not necessarily these things that we make God things, these things we make idols are not necessarily bad things to begin with, but we turn them into bad things by the way that we position them in our heart. And so what does God say here then? He says in verse 21, this should make us shake a little bit. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? It's always about what happened before. So you got to go, it should be cyclical. We go back to verse 20. Can one make gods for himself, but they are not gods? He's saying, therefore, I'm going to tell you something about that. I'm about to inform them. And this time I will make them know my power and my might. Then they will know that my name is the Lord. He says, I'm going to have to give you an object lesson on what it means to be God, on what it means to be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, what it means to understand that I am not like you and I am not like those things that you have fashioned with your hands, that I am altogether different. And oftentimes in the Bible, and a lot in the Bible, God uses the enemies and the oppressors to be able to do this. Let me just think about Habakkuk. Habakkuk cries out to God, and God says to Habakkuk in the first chapter, I'm going to do something that you wouldn't even believe in your day. And Habakkuk goes, yes, finally. Yeah. And God goes, I'm sending the Chaldeans.
Yeah.
And Habakkuk goes, wait just a second. Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
Did you say Chaldeans? Because that's our enemies. That's not our friends. That's not the thing that's going to save us. That's not the thing that's going to deliver us. And God says, no. This isn't about saving you and delivering you. This is about forming you into a people for my glory. A people who know a joy that transcends physically where they're at, a joy that is rooted in God and who God is and the knowledge of who God is, not their present circumstances. And then it says, then we get to, in my Bible, my heading says, the persistent sin of Judah. This is where you pulled that verse from that says, you know, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And it says the sin of Judah is inscribed with an iron stylus and with a diamond point. So what are those two things? Iron is strong. It's tough. It's resilient. A diamond cannot be broken or shattered. So he's saying, listen, this thing is true. It is permanent. It is engraved on the tablet of their hearts and with the horns of their altars while their children remembering their altars and their Asherah pole. So he's saying, listen, this sin is inscribed upon your heart. It's that deep. That what you've done with the altars and the Asherah poles, what you have done by, what does it say in the next one? By the green trees and the high hills, my mountains and in the countryside. You've lifted these things up in front of the people. You've told them that they are good. You've pulled them into the worship of these things. God is saying, you have done something that is absolutely wicked. And he says, I will give up your wealth and all your treasures as plunders because of the sin of your high places. In all your borders, you will on your own relinquish your inheritance. So he's saying, listen, it's not that I'm going to have somebody come and take it from you. You're going to end up giving it up. It's going to be so bad. And I will make you serve your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have set my anger on fire and it will burn forever. I mean, let's just stop right there. Those are verses. those are verses that are tough to hear. Those are verses that you're like, wait a second. Where's the Jesus puts me on my on his shoulder and carries me around because he loves me and I'm like a little lamb? You know, where is the John 3:16? Can we read that real quick? Because I need to be reminded that God loves me. But sometimes the most loving thing you can do is also to correct. It's also to correct. And God's saying here, he's saying, I'm going to have you relinquish your inheritance. What he's saying is, he's saying, I'm going to have you give up the very thing you're holding on to so that you can see me. God is trying to remove from them everything that has gotten in the way of them seeing who they are and who God is. And because who they are is wrapped up in who God is. Anytime we wrap ourselves, our own identity and who we are in the things around us, we're moving towards idolatry. And here, their identity is rooted in God. They are God's people. And God says, I need to remove all of these things. I need you to make you serve your enemies so that you can understand that you've become enemies to me.
Hmm.
I need you to experience that firsthand so you can understand what that experience is like. All of this to return to them. Now, I have to believe there was probably a remnant who, when this was proclaimed by Jeremiah, you know, in verse 4, and it will burn forever, that they said, no way. And they just immediately went into prayer and all that. But I do have to believe that there was a largest portion of the people were like, what?
Hmm.
What? You know, because earlier in chapter 16 and verse 10, it says, when you tell these people all these things, so when you proclaim to the people all of these things, that when you proclaim what the Lord has to say about their idolatry and their wickedness, this is what they will say to you. Why has the Lord declared all this terrible disasters on us? What is our iniquity? What is our sin that we've committed against the Lord our God? So the vast majority of the people here at this time don't think that they're being sinful. They don't think that they're being idolatrous. They've made it so normal. And this is the scariest part about idolatry, and this is the scariest part about sin, is when we spend so much time near it and with it that it just becomes normal. That it doesn't even bother us.
I'm thinking nothing new under the sun, how we're in the midst of it now, just Hollywood, what we accept in film and through commercials, through life experiences, through possessions. We've become jaded to some degree or callous, or we've just compromised God's holiness in so many different ways.
Yeah, it's not really, I wouldn't prescribe this as a biblical discipline or as a discipline as a Christian you should follow. But over the last number of days in my spare time, which isn't a lot of spare time, but when I have time, when I'm working and that, I like to listen to things. I've been following the Johnny Depp trial. And I was really fascinated because they had this guy on there who was a mover and shaker in Hollywood. He was a Hollywood lawyer, and he had been a Hollywood lawyer now for 55 years. So he was talking about when he was doing deals to make Star Wars, and he was doing deals to make The Godfather and all this stuff. I mean, this guy has been around that long. And so the defense was asking about, you know, Johnny Depp's drug use and Johnny Depp's, the different things, you know, negative things that he did, and how that affected his career. And it was really fascinating to me because this guy who had been in the business for 55 years said, that's not a big deal. If you can make money for Hollywood, there are three things they will always turn their eye to: drugs, divas, and sexual misconduct.
Hmm.
Those three things they will always turn their eye to as long as you can make them money.
Turn their eye away from?
Yeah, their eye away from. It's not a big deal. Because they were the one guy was saying, well, you know, because he was drinking, he would show up late to the set to do the movie, right? And the guy's like, oh, they knew he would do that. That's what happens when you're drugs, divas, all the other thing. He's like, they knew that would happen. They factor that in. That's not a big deal to those people in Hollywood. Mm. And so all this to say, and this is not to demonize and vilify Hollywood, but Hollywood is a place where there are acceptable sins as long as you can make somebody money.
Yeah.
And somewhere in Israel, somehow in Israel, there were acceptable sins, sins that were so acceptable that the people say, when the Lord says he's going to do all this stuff, what the heck is he talking about? He can't be talking about what we're doing because we are pretty good.
Yeah.
No. And then we get to what you said. This is what the Lord said. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. So he's saying, listen, you will receive nothing but curses. And curses are the absence of God.
Mm.
You will receive nothing but the absence of God, the curses that come from that. And then we go down to where you read from in verse 7. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is in the Lord, is blessed. And I've said this many times, blessed is the word ashrei, which means lucky if there was no connotation of luck involved. You are blessed. You are lucky if your confidence and your trust is in the Lord, that he's the one that you seek after. And what's fascinating to me is God says that, then we move into, and I know we're short on time, we move into a small paragraph that says the deceitful heart, because now God wants to say, listen, you have a choice. You can trust in mankind. You can trust in me. Let me give you a little primer on the human heart, because it wants to trust in mankind. And then what happens after that? It's such a beautiful moment. Jeremiah says in verse 14, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. You are my praise. Jeremiah says if there's any healing to happen, it can only happen through you. If there is any salvation that's going to happen, it's only going to happen through you. If there's any praise that's going to happen, it's only going to happen because I am praising you. He says, where is the word of the Lord? Which he's saying, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Let it all come, because if it draws me closer to you, then it's worth it. And it's such a beautiful moment, because this thing that we see here is God drawing somebody to him. And the response of the man of God in the midst of all of this wickedness, it's a primer for all of us who are surrounded. Maybe you think you're surrounded by wickedness, and you go, well, what does it look like to be a man of God in the midst of wickedness? It's Jeremiah chapter 16 and 17.
Wow, to think I just pulled this out. I don't know how you're able to, I give out a verse to begin the program and how you can go back. Now, I know your pattern. You always find the context, so you always have to go back some, but how you even know
this
to
this hibiscus tea I'm drinking?
Yeah, that's right.
This is my plug for hibiscus tea.
Yes. Oh, well, thank
Four
you.
Four kids, no sleep. Yeah. It all... That's what it does.
Yeah, well, thank you. So many good words here in Jeremiah, and how we can glean truth from God's word, and as we talk about it and as we share. And if you want to be a part of one of these future broadcasts, stop by greatnewsradio.org, right on the homepage there, and also under the Mark and Friends link. You can sign up to be a part of one of our audiences we'll tape this program, and you'll be a part of it in future days. So stop by greatnewsradio.org or the Mark and Friends tab, and you can find out how to sign up and be a part of a future audience, but not just to witness and to watch, but to interact. Yeah. Like you might have some thoughts on this, or say, you know, that's so true. And then you'll give your experience and we'll talk about it. And I think it'll be a great time to gather.
Yep.
So stop by greatnewsradio.org and look under the Mark and Friends tab, or right there on the homepage, and you can be a part of a future Wednesday. And we'll start on the 18th, a week from next Wednesday.
Yep.
So hope you can be a part of that. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.